What we wanted to do by having Shekinah here was learn more. I think most of us think of medical marijuana as people going to a social environment and just blazing it up, if you will. There was a social medical marijuana facility out in Williamston, where I live at one time, Williamston Township, to be more precise. And a lot of negative perceptions were made of it. Do we support it? Are we against it? That's not what we're here to decide. But what we want to do is try to be educated from the perspective of an owner. And as you're going to hear, Shekinah Pena has made it her life's work to really know about this. Now, we were just talking about the state law itself. It's been vague. And I've heard people on one side of the issue say they the people who decided that this would be a good law were idiots and didn't have enough rules and regulations there. I've had other people say that, well, it's made vague because not only do we not know enough about it, but we want to allow local municipalities to decide their ordinance. From your perspective, why? What do you think about the law? Is it vague, and why was it made vague?
I think it was made vague with that those areas to move in and out, to have the patients have access, and to let the local ordinances come through and kind of, you know, interpret their law. So they didn't want to have, you know, the strict Medical Marijuana Act where it just shut down, you know, patients' access to dispensaries, access for growing, and things like that. So it was made vague for, you know, patients to have that provided access.
Do you like the way it was written, or could it have been written in a better manner for businesses?
Unfortunately, you know, the patient-to-patient transfer, I am definitely supportive of, and that's what we do in our dispensary. You know, but it is not the state law. The act is not written to, you know, to secure all of us. I mean, it's just, it doesn't protect us whatsoever, you know, especially our children. Like, it doesn't support dispensaries, which we know we need the patient-to-patient access. We, everyone at our clinic are patients, so we do the patient-to-patient transfer. But it doesn't protect our home growers. You know, FDA, the DEA, they still can come in because it's federally legal, and they can challenge our state law. So we have to, if it was clearly, you know, if we can amend it some kind of way, and I know I will make some people upset by saying amend it, but if we can just have some clarification added to it, some type of amendment, so home growers, you know, their own caregivers, people like myself growing my own medication, I don't have to worry so much about, you know, the DEA kicking in my door and taking away my three plants that I have, you know, even though I can clearly have up to 72. You know, I don't want to have a gun to my head or to my child's head, and, you know, we don't want to put anyone at that risk.
Why do we have to have caregivers? Why can't we just get this medication through our drugstores?
Unfortunately, because it's not federally legal. And we do, of course, have over-the-counter synthetic Marinol. But as we were talking about, there's three different species types, an indica, sativa, and hybrid. And under just a sativa alone, which gives us that cerebral activity and palpitations and increased heart rate, there are thousands of sativas. So there's no way that we can kind of package. And if you found a medication that worked for you, and I, with my MS, you know, I like the Neville's Haze, which is a sativa plant that grows way to the ceiling. It takes forever to flower, like maybe even 4 to 5 months into flowering, and yields absolutely nothing. And I want to put it in my tea. I want to break it down to put it in my capsules, and it will take me too long. I'll be out of all the medication before I can yield the next. So it's very complicated.
You mentioned how you have really studied this. You went over to Amsterdam. Talk about that process.
I had a couple trips to Amsterdam. Once we went for recreational just to kind of check it out. And then I flew back after I started researching how they put it in different foods, such as cheeses, milks, you know, cannabis oils. And, you know, I went out and acquired a card in California and started to learn about how they had it in cough drops and candies and everything else, that there was so many other ways to ingest this medication. I, like I said before, I was not, you know, for marijuana at all. I didn't want to smoke. I didn't want to do anything about it. But when it came time for my MS, I had to find some other choice of, you know, alternative use so I can be my hyper, you know, self again, chase these kids around and have a liver long term. I was 25 and I needed, you know, a different choice. So when I went to Amsterdam, it was extremely expensive. I bounced back and forth a couple different times. And of course, chronic fatigue comes with the MS, but we learned how to use every part of that plant, even the roots, grinding it down and putting it into our decaf coffee. So we can just make it regular, you know, brewed coffee. And it was medicated enough where it stimulates my sativa, my heart rate and the cerebral activity, but not enough where it makes me jittery or is putting me down and I have that failure.
So you can use the whole plant. The manufacturing of this, who does this? Do you do this in your house? Is it a, how does that work?
Yep. All of us who work at Your Healthy Choice are patients and caregivers. We all grow for ourselves and as well as our patients. But every part of that plant, from every leaf clipping to the stalk to down to the roots, we use and we break down in our residential home. So we're kind of under the cottage laws right now. And then we bring it back into the dispensing area. And we make sure everything's package labeled from active ingredient, net weight, to the active cannabis weight.
What is the percentage of people who smoke to medicate as opposed to ingesting something that you eat or an oil?
You know, it was so funny because we have a lot of our patients that come in with COPD, you know, the asthma. But cannabis has been known to be a dilation of the bronchial. Now, it's not a quick dilation like our albuterol treatments or our nebulizer treatments by any means, but it is an, you know, dilation of the airways. It opens up the airways so it doesn't leave them so congested there. But also, those people have converted over to medibles, drinking teas, drinking, you know, fruit juices, lemonades, anything that they can infuse now. We have apple ciders and things like that. So, you know, if they can put the tincture in their daily water, you know, we can get them merged over. The problem with ingesting food, it takes longer to, you know, hit our metabolism. So if your metabolism is faster than mine, yours will be active, you know, an hour later. Mine will be within 20 minutes because I have a very fast metabolism.